This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Great to see you again. So we've been having interesting times at feeding time. It can be such fun, actually, feeding. But it is also the time when there is little friction points and little things going on. So I got spat at the other day. I had to go and wash my hair again. Oh, who would that have been? Oh, I know, Megan. I came down the path and there was a bit of a log jam, a bit of a traffic jam, a bit of an alpaca jam blocking the path. So I stepped off and kind of hurried down the slope towards the stable, right to the point where Megan was standing. And unfortunately, she decided that this was too fast of an approach for her. So when I kind of stepped off and got down there, she spat in my ear. Oh, Megan. Oh, I wish we could be friends all the time. We are most of the time, but sometimes she gets a bit protective or assertive or something. Anyway, it usually involves green gunk. She's always loading up ready. She's always threatening, making those noises. Usually there's a difference. Actually, there's a little bit of a noise and then there's a big noise. And the big noise is a definite, I am getting ready to offload. So she keeps threatening and making noises. There was that particular day, it was like she spat at me once and then over and over again in different places. I'm just bending down to pick up the trough to put food in it. I'm here to feed you and you're spitting at me. What's the old saying about not biting the hand that feeds you? Haven't you read that, Megan? No, I don't think she has. So that was interesting. Anyway, can't do much about it. I did have words with her, but what can you do? So she's worked out that I've been favouring Amelia. You've got to time it right, you see, because otherwise, if you put the food in the bucket for Amelia too soon, the others hear the sound of the food going in and they come before she's ready. And sometimes if you're kind of in a hurry or whatever and you're about to leave and Amelia hasn't got to have her food yet, then it means that she misses out. Yesterday, she was a bit late in coming, and I had to move and put the food in the bucket. And she'd come all the way in. I'd been off and got a bag of food. She wasn't around. Been off, got a bag of food, brought it back, and was just tipping it into the bin. This is a sound they all recognise, the sound of food going into metal bins. So she came and was looking very keenly for some. So I put quietly, scooped some up and put some in a bucket for her. That was fine, but all the others, they'd finished their other food. She was a bit later coming because I'd been off getting this bag from the store. The others were all standing and waiting outside. Oh, is that for us? Oh, can we have some too? So I ended up having to scoop some out and spread it round and get them going, trying to spread them out, trying to give them enough without giving them too much. Anyway, I'm starting to almost label it as Amelia's bucket now. So I had to put that down in a different corner. So she was there and she put her head in there. And Megan came over. She knows every time Amelia's got her head in a bucket. She knows. They recognise the green bucket now. It's the same bucket that I use for water as well as for putting the food in. And they sort of think I'm bringing them food when I'm just getting a bucket of water. So I put it down and Amelia had her head in the bucket. She's getting ready. Head down and it's not coming out. It's going to stay in. And Megan came over and Megan was around and she could tell Amelia knew somebody was waiting and trying to squeeze in. So Amelia kept her head in the bucket, but she was also wanting to warn them off. So there's this kind of row, 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 going on with a head in the bucket. It was a classic. Didn't capture the sound, but you would have enjoyed it. It was very, very typical. Amelia making her point, protecting her food. But the others can now start to think that you know, there's some special going on. We need some special as well, please. So Megan sometimes is a little bit more challenging. Here in the UK, we have just had what we call Bonfire Night, November the 5th. Typically, it's Guy Fawkes Night. We have bonfires, we have fireworks. and not too many locally, but they start a bit earlier as soon as people are starting to find them in the shops and they buy them. They're incredibly expensive, but anyway, poof, gone. So locally, not too many, because we're in the middle of nowhere, kind of. But there have been some fireworks around. You could hear them. And the alpacas, little pops of ears and little, you know, they're kind of aware of what's going on. They're not freaked out too much by it. Our dogs used to get really worried by it and we'd be shivering wrecks. But the alpacas, just wary. If there's a lot happening, then they get more stressed and they'll bunch up and they'll move off to a place where they feel more secure, which is usually down in the garden paddock, really, and under the trees. And it's open enough, it's protected enough. It's kind of a balance. They found a balance of protection and openness. They want to be able to see what's going on and recognize the threats, but also feel a bit more sheltered and away from danger. So that's just about finished. I'm not sure there's any more. It's usually the weekend before. It was the 5th, so we've just had that. Yeah. So those things, I don't understand why people would have them anywhere near where animals are, but the people do. And that's phased now. We've gone. Apart from birthdays or maybe New Year's Eve, we'll get another round of fireworks going on, but hopefully it'll be pretty quiet now. Talking about being quiet, there's kind of the sound that I've been hearing. Oh, what's going on? Is it raining? No, it's not raining. Really still, hardly any air movement, but a little bit of air movement. And you've got this, it's all the leaves. They're kind of tinkling down and bumping into each other and into branches and various things as they're coming down. So a lot of leaves. So some have lost most of their leaves now. And some have got a kind of a balance going on, depending on which direction they're facing as to which side of the tree is stripped of leaves or not. And there's a photograph in the episode notes if you want to go and check it out. That's alpacatribe.com. And yeah, it's kind of producing a carpet of leaves. Depends on the tree as to whether the alpacas just walk through them and crunch them as they walk past, or whether they'll collect them. There are some trees when they do like the taste of these. Oh, we're going to... So they harvest them. And they just kind of hoover them up. Now, having all these things. Sometimes they get left in the food troughs. So you've got the food and the leaves. And they get best of both worlds. It's kind of in between. So we're not quite ready to really go sweeping up and clearing up all the leaves on the road. And that would be nice when we get there. But there's no point in clearing them when the rest of the leaves haven't come down yet. Otherwise, you just got to repeat yourself. So that's work in progress, autumn on the way, fall is falling, leaves are coming off the trees. Some have completely stripped bare and some are still got more to come. We haven't had that hard frost. We had some stronger wind, and that did take some of these off, but usually it's a hard frost and then some wind and all the leaves and then be down. Some of the softer fleshed plants will get affected by the frost and they'll be finished for the season completely. Whereas some of those are still growing through. There's a three-phase buttercup where it was just opening a flower. The seed heads, the achene kind of little seedy bits, and an in-between flower that was fading out and thinning out its petals. So, but it's all on the same plant, on the same branch almost of this thing. So yeah, it continues. Swans are still around and they regularly are stretching their wings. Alpacas don't seem to mind this. There's a very distinctive sound, the sound of the big wings and the big feathers kind of going through the air. So that's something that they have been doing, sometimes going down the lake, sometimes coming up the lake. This morning they were going, I think actually the male was ready for off, and the female just turned down at the last moment and landed in the end lake. And he overshot and she stopped. So he stopped and landed in, unceremoniously, has to be said, landed in the field, bankside kind of field, sort of slope. But he kind of flopped down and then, for a short while later, I didn't see the process, but a short while later, he was back on the lake. So obviously he could navigate his way back through the fence and the gate and get back to where he needed to be. So they're back on the water. So they spent the rest of the time backwards and forwards. doing their dibbling, going down for the weed. And so the swans are around, and obviously the other birds back and forth as well. But the swans stand out a bit because of their size, but the colour as well, because they're so bright white compared to everything else. And if you get a little bit of extra light, a bit of sun, not that we've had much of that recently, very cloudy. Not raining so much, but very cloudy. But you get a little bit of extra brightness, and they glow bright white. We tend to notice them a bit more. Been thinking about what makes a good alpaca. What's a good alpaca? If you're going to choose an alpaca, what would you go for? And there's all kinds of factors to bear in mind. It depends what you want it for, doesn't it? Is this adding to the breeding herd? So you want ideally something that's a proven sire or dam that can produce offspring of good quality. And spread of the bloodlines is always a good thing to be thinking about, so that they can carry on being part of your herd without becoming restricted and limited as to which other males can be used on them, etc. And then the fleece, the conformation, the physical structure, and then the fleece. What is it that you're getting from them for that? But also thinking about what makes a good alpaca in terms of sociability and fitting in. It's difficult to add animals into an existing group without upsetting the balance. And some of that you just got to accept that it's going to happen and try and navigate that round. But some are better than others, and some are particularly good at fitting in, I think. And that means that they're able to become part of the group. Often the groups will develop over time from births and others, that you know, you gradually increase the numbers, but you get an addition in. And being sociable, that's quite a good measure. This makes good alpaca that's going to be easy to manage, that understands boundaries between people, that isn't too much of a Megan. She's a character, but sometimes she's too assertive. Nah, she's all right. She's not aggressive with it. And she's one of the senior members of the herd now. So that is a thing that they do. They're going to be the protectors. They're going to be the ones who have more of an attitude that comes through. So there are different things that make a good operator. But the challenge is knowing those things. Let's think about the conformation. If you can get a young animal, how are they going to grow? What about the fleece? How does it seem now, but how is it going to grow as they get a bit older through the first year, but also beyond that, sort of 4 or 5 years on, what's the fleece going to be like? And seeing the bit of show is one thing, but being able to see the offspring of a range of particular female or particular male, that's a good way to judge what kind of offspring they're going to produce, but also how long it's going to stay good, as it were. The behavior and that kind of stuff, well, that's a tricky one because it changes over time. And you will help shape that once they've arrived with you and they're in the herd mix and they're interacting with you, then you'll start shaping how they behave. So we become part of the process there of how they develop, how sociable they are. And then the other aspects are really over a period of time. You judge in a moment, but actually, you're only going to know afterwards, which makes it quite difficult. Difficult to be sure that you're going to get it right. But there are factors that you can take into account. Now, obviously, the other thing to do is to talk to the people, the owners, people who know these particular animals, and be able to explore that a bit more. It takes a while to get to know an alpaca and to be able to judge the thing, and it all depends on the circumstances, and it changes over time. So we make the best choices we can in the moment. That's, I think, is the way we go. We ask the questions, we move towards something that's going to fit well with existing animals or in the new setting as we're pulling together our own foundation herd. And then you've got the animals that are added as they have new births. You don't get much choice about that. It's just going to be whatever arrives. Like you can't decide whether it's going to be male or female. It's going to be what it is. And the colorations and the quality of the fleece and things. We've still got that randomness that comes. So we make the choices we can from the information that we have, recognizing that there's no absolutes here and there's no ability to be sure that things are going to work the way you expect them to. And that's okay. That's part of the charm, part of the turf, part of what we're taking on as we keep alpacas and as we grow our herds. So making choices, take the information and make the best choice you can. What other things would you do? What are the other things that would make a good alpaca? Drop me a line, steve@alpacatribe.com. Let me know what are the kind of things you'd be looking for if you were going to be adding an alpaca into your life or into your herd. So while we have light, go spend some time with your alpacas. Stay dry, stay warm, and breathe. Take care. Bye for now. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.